All right, good morning. It's a pleasure to be back. Better Soccer is
Good
the best
morning.
podcast when you are looking for the best of English Premier League analysis. And well, the UEFA Champions League is here, so we are getting somewhere quickly. First of all, it's not going to be just us this time around. We have a special guest among us. His team is still one of the perfect around. He is excited to be here. Shem, good morning. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good morning, Adams. I'm feeling good. Good morning, Richie.
How exactly does it feel to have 5 out of 5 so far?
You know, even when losing, I'm a cocky one. So imagine winning 5 out of 5. Man, I'm going for the league.
You're going for the league. You're not even saying
yeah,
top
yeah,
four.
yeah.
You're
No,
not even waiting for
no,
Man City and the likes
no.
to even step forward.
From last season, the way the preseason went and the way the season started, I already said it. Top four is outdated. We should be going for the league. And if we're not going to win it, at least fight for the title. Let us see the improvement. Last season, we nearly got top four with Lacazette. Now we have good attackers. Come on. I'm not settling for top four.
Something that I think maybe we should watch out for is the fact that maybe at some point, fatigue might set in. Last season, you did not have the extra curricular activities of maybe European football. Even FA Cup, you guys left quite early. The Carabao Cup, you guys didn't exactly go far. So it was just primarily the league. And one way or the other, I think what I would consider it to be was that at the end of last season, fatigue was what made you guys still lose out on top four. And yes, you guys made maybe, even already, so if you can look at it and listen, you can say, okay, there's already injuries coming in and all that. Don't you think maybe it might stop you guys?
No, actually, no. The versatility in the squad is why I'm calm. All right, Partey is injured, Elneny is injured. We know Zinchenko can fail in for the number six
even
position.
Zinchenko is not exactly fit right now. So,
yeah, he's not. But for now, we have Lokonga to play the number six. So, and even Ben White can play the role. So I'm not actually bothered. The only position that will bother me is actually the right wing. That Saka position. Yeah, if there's injury, I know we'll struggle so bad. But I'm still calm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Before we leave the Arsenal and the whatever for now. Let's go back to what happened in the last 2 game weeks, in the last 10 days in the English Premier League. Good morning, everyone. I believe we are all here now. Richard, Bellumi, Damola. It's always a pleasure to have you guys around. Let's go through this result together. Like for example, now you start from last Saturday, Southampton against Manchester United. Bellumi predicted 3-0. Bellumi said Man U scored 3, but they only needed 1 to get the job done. Southampton 0, Manchester United 1. Brentford and Everton played out a 1-1 draw. Brighton and Albion against Leeds 1-0. Chelsea 2-1 against Leicester City, which was quite interesting because Chelsea got a red card and still found a way to score 2 goals afterwards. Yes, Bellamy.
The 3 that I said was a mistake. I meant 3 points. And we got 3 points.
Well, we were here last weekend and we said that Liverpool needed a statement win to get their season on the run. And they made a very, very loud statement. And I mean, very, very loud. It's the biggest winning margin in English Premier League history. Liverpool 9, Bournemouth 0. And that loss actually put Bournemouth on the ropes because now they sacked their coach and they are coachless at the moment. They've not exactly announced a new coach. So they have an interim and their assistant manager taking over at the club. Away from that one, Manchester City, it was another Erling Haaland show, let me put it that way. Manchester City, 2 goals down, and I was like, okay, what's going on again? What's happening? Then all of a sudden, Haaland was like, you know what, let's give this guy the taste of what Haaland feels like. Very, very beautiful game of football. Haaland scored a hat-trick. Manchester City 4, Crystal Palace 2 at the Etihad Stadium. Arsenal 2, Fulham 1. So I know you're happy about this one, because from the way the game started, halftime goalless, then you look at Gabriel giving away the ball to Mitrovic. Then what happens next? There was an equalizer almost immediately. Very good response. Actually, I've liked the response in Arsenal whenever they concede. It's not even just about going down. It's just about the way they actually respond whenever they concede. You look at against Fulham, for example. They conceded and the next thing they went forward. Go ahead.
Fulham was actually the longest. Because so far, every goal we conceded, we respond quickly. Fulham took 8 minutes for us to get a response. So Fulham was the longest.
And Gabriel got the winning goal in I think 89th minutes, if I'm not mistaken. So
I can't remember the time.
Actually. Yeah, looking at I'm trying to I'm trying to 86 minutes. Gabriel scored in the 86 minutes. Away from that one, on Sunday we saw Aston Villa lose another game. West Ham scored their first goal, and their first goal was enough to secure them their first 3 points of the season. West Ham won, Aston Villa nil at the Villa Park. To be honest, it's looking a little bit shaky for Steven Gerrard at Villa Park. Wolverhampton Wanderers against Newcastle. Very, very wonderful strike from Alan Saint-Maximin right at the death to actually secure a point. Wolves won, Newcastle won. Nottingham Forest nil, Harry Kane and Tottenham Hotspur 2, although Harry Kane missed a penalty. On Tuesday, midweek, we had another set of games. Crystal Palace 1, Brentford 1, Fulham 2, Brighton 1, Southampton 2, Chelsea 1. Chelsea went up through Raheem Sterling and they just could not hold on to that lead. Leeds United 1, Everton 1, Bournemouth 0, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0. New dispensation and they got a point off Wolves. In fact, let me even ask this question. What exactly is, because let me know, let us be very honest, Wolves have not been themselves this season. What exactly is wrong with Wolverhampton Wanderers this season? They've not exact, I mean, their transfer dealings have been quite interesting. Let me put it that way. Interesting is the word I would use because they brought in quite some very good players. Matheus Nunes is not exactly a bad name to bring in. They've lost Willy Boly, one of their centre backs, but at the same time, they still look good enough, but they are not exactly performing to that top-notch point. Damola, what's going on with Wolverhampton Wanderers?
Wolverhampton Wanderers, just like the usual thing. I think I said it last the last week. They need a
Damola, can you
striker.
please speak up a little?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, it's better now.
Okay, I said they need Wolverhampton Wanderers. Like I said last week, they need a striker that can get into extra positions and pick up balls for them and put into the net. Last week, I think they had Jimenez on the pitch, right? And
Yeah, he was on
they
the pitch.
brought, yeah, I think they brought another striker now that can at least complement Jimenez. That's Kalad, I think from Stuttgart. They brought him in now, and they have the creativity in the midfield. That's one thing. They have Neves, they have and Matheus Nunes. They just brought him in. So let's see. For the next couple of game weeks, I think Wolves should be something to reckon with. In the next couple of game weeks now.
Arsenal 2, Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 6, Nottingham Forest 0. Another Erling Haaland hat-trick. Two in the space of 4 or 5 days. West Ham United 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1, Liverpool 2, Newcastle 1, and finally Leicester City 0, Man United 1. With Liverpool Newcastle, I want to put you on the spot, Richard. Do you think, I mean, we've had a little controversy considering the whole injury time crisis and whatnot happened. People are saying, okay, yes, they gave Liverpool enough time to get the goal. People are saying, because the board was raised and it says after the 90th minute. But the game extended as long as 97 40 something before Fabio Cavalli got the goal. And immediately that goal was scored, the banner whistle was blown. What exactly do you think happened? Do you think maybe the referee allowed the play to continue up to that extent? Or do you think maybe he could have called it earlier or stuff like that? What exactly is your take on that particular moment?
Happening football all the time, especially with big clubs like Manchester United, Chelsea, and Co. So it's nothing serious to worry about. But the only issue I'm going to take from that Newcastle game was the officiating, ruling the second Alexander Isak's goal
Isak's goal.
for offside.
But was in offside?
It wasn't. Clearly, the whole mechanism of VAR needs to be sorted, just the way Antonio Conte said after the West Ham draw against Tottenham. There was a clear case of an handball there from Cresswell, and then it wasn't even VAR checked the website. It wasn't an handball.
Okay,
I don't
if you
know.
are if since we're even on the VAR subject, let me even look. Okay, look at what happened with Douglas Luiz's straight corner against Arsenal. Do you think that could have been called back?
Yeah, that shouldn't have counted, in my opinion, because last season or two, we were playing against Leicester. We scored a goal early on. I think Lacazette scored, and the VAR called it back because Xhaka was obstructing the keeper without contact. Without contact, it was just in front of the keeper. Now look at this, Kamara and Ramsdale. Kamara and were placed. Were on Ramsdale. There was contact,
Mings.
and he was
Was that
obstructing the
Cameron
goalkeeper.
Mings?
I don't think that should have counted. But maybe the goal was too good to not count it or something. But that shouldn't have counted. No, it was Kamara. It was Kamara or Ramsdale. It was Kamara or Ramsdale.
Sheun, I'm sorry, pardon me. Balumi, you want to say something?
Yeah, yeah, it's him. Okay, his name is Sheun, sorry, because I think I'm saying Michael, yeah. Okay, yeah, so, okay, that goal, if they called off that goal because of that little incident, that kind of beautiful goal, would you have gone to...
Okay. No matter how... Okay, Isak's goal, as beautiful as it was also ruled off.
Not as beautiful as scoring directly from a corner kick now.
But the goalkeeper was still impeded, yes or no?
Actually.
That was very weak.
That goal should have been called off. That goal should have been called off because he was carrying Ramsdale on his back.
That brings me to the question. Let's just sit down to wrap up this whole review segment. But before I bring that question in, let's go through the statistics a little bit. Right now, we are looking at the goal scorers chart. And Pelumi, I know you are happy about this one. And in fact, I know you are smiling right now. Erling Haaland is putting daylight within himself already and others. Erling Haaland 9, Alexander Mitrovic is second with 5, Harry Kane, Rodrigo Moreno, and Wilfred Zaha are joint third with 4 goals to their name. Roberto Firmino, Kevin De Bruyne, Gabriel Jesus, and Jack Harrison all top the assist charts with 3 assists to their name. That brings us to this question. Now, the question I wanted to ask, what exactly does VAR do in England? Because this is not the first time. It's not even just this season. Last season, we've had time and time again where we've had to question VAR decisions and all, referee decisions and everything. VAR was supposed to be an assistant, help the referee see what they can't see. But so far, I don't know. I would not exactly say maybe made the football worse, maybe in a way. But what exactly is it that VAR is doing for us in England? Because so far, so good. I will be very honest. I am not happy with what is going on. Balumi, let me start with you.
Firstly, as for VAR, I don't know, man. Because I feel like for my own club, Manchester United, I don't really think we have really fallen far, you know, on the wrong side of VAR. That was, oh, maybe it should have stood. Maybe the goal should not have been ruled out. Oh, maybe this and that. So for me, I'm a tad neutral.
Because they never pinch on now, you know, concerning.
But generally, firstly, I want to talk about the West Ham, that West Ham versus Tottenham incident. In my opinion, it struck Cresswell's head before it struck his hand, which is not a penalty. Fine, you could say his hand was in a natural position, but the fact that it already struck his head before striking his hand means that I don't count that as a penalty. As for the Arsenal incident, clear foul, goal should have been ruled out. There's no two ways about it. We have seen goals ruled out for sir offenses than that. As far as it's regarding the goalkeeper, because the goalkeeper should be more area.
Exactly. I think I was having a discussion. I think it was Damola I was talking to last night when we were having a discussion off the recording where we were like, that goal should, I think, yeah, it was Damola, I think it was with you, where we're like, the goalkeepers are more protected and that should definitely not have stood, right?
Yeah. The goalkeepers are more protected. And even if it was an active player, we can tell the ball was coming towards him and he had the right to at least guard the player from getting to the ball and try to control the ball. It was in the goalkeeper's box. It was impeding the goalkeeper. It was carrying him on his back without the ball getting to him, which is a clear foul. That's right.
All right.
I would like to discuss the City Crystal Palace incident where Ederson threw the ball out and what was his name? Was it a number? Ayew scored.
Jordan.
Should that go have stood or not? Should it have counted? Did you watch
the incident? And I also watched a football show on Monday. Demons Gallagher said something that was very, very interesting. You remember Thierry Henry getting the ball from the goalkeeper when he was about to kick it out? If anyone could remember that incident.
Yeah, I think I'm
familiar with that one.
Yeah, so the host was trying to say the goalkeeper threw the ball, that should be like a pass. And Ayew intercepted it. But he made something interesting that the ball hasn't... He was talking about proximity. That the ball was still very close to the goalkeeper and he threw it with his hand. So that was what they looked at and that shouldn't have stood.
Okay. Well, let's just wrap up this whole review thing and let's go into what's about to come. In fact, let me ask you one by one. But what was your highest point of these two game weeks?
Erling Braut Haaland scoring back to back hat tricks like a proper Scandinavian, you know.
Just like so what was your highest point? So what was your highest point of this game week, of these two games combined?
I got 70 last weekend and yesterday I got 69. It was supposed to be 70, but Neco Williams came in for Zinchenko, so I had minus one, so 69.
Aww. Sorry. Well. We are getting somewhere. We are definitely getting somewhere. The English Premier League is heating up a little bit. We are looking at the table now, and I can tell you, well, for starters, Arsenal are on top of the table, 15 points, 5 wins out of 5. It's looking good. Manchester City are second, chasing behind them. And the one team you don't want them to pick momentum is Manchester City. So maybe Arsenal should be scared. 4 wins, 1 draw. It's looking good, 13 points. Tottenham are in third with 11 points, 3 wins, 2 draws. Brighton and Hove Albion fourth with 10 points. Manchester United, despite their bad start, have won 3 games on the bounce, and that has boosted them into the 5th place, into the Europa League spot already. I know it's early to call, but...
None of you will celebrate United now, but...
Relax.
When we're 28, people were shouting...
I just celebrated...
You have to accept cookies.
...games on the bounce. I just celebrated you by saying you won 3 games on the bounce. Man, you're on the winning streak. And that, in fact, this weekend is going to be interesting. That's why Shane is here. We are here to pepper them, but we are getting there. Liverpool 8.66 on the log. Leeds United 8, Fulham 8, Southampton, Chelsea are down in 10 with 7 points. We are looking at the relegation. We are looking at the relegation battle early in the season, and let's say at bottom of the table, 1 point from a possible 15. It's not looking good. In fact, it might call it a long stretch, but I think Brendan Rodgers might be sacked soon. Follow me.
I think Chelsea are too high for 10th safe. They should be lower than that. Useless. Horrific. It should be as low as 15th.
Relax now. It's not that bad. I mean, it's just 2 wins, 1 draw, and then 2 losses.
CSO.
Well, away from that one, like I mentioned, Brendan Rodgers might just maybe be sacked. It's not looking good. 1 point from 15. Let's say that.
Yeah, actually, very, very bad. Adam.
Yes.
Yesterday, I was discussing with my guys when we were watching the United game, and someone made a point that it looked like the Leicester players are playing to get their coach sacked.
Honestly, they
haven't been playing well.
I thought, at least, I might not have seen maybe first 2-3 games of Leicester City, but last night, after watching them against United, I would not lie. I started questioning myself. I mean, you could see the game plan was there, but they were not executing it properly. You could see what they wanted to do, but everybody was playing so lacklusterly. In fact, Vardy was so helpless yesterday night. I don't understand what was happening.
I was also frustrated last night because I was expecting a dominant midfield performance from Leicester. Because look at the technicality in midfield. You have Tillemans, you have Maddison, Sumare. And who was the last man? Juice Bureau. So I was expecting a dominant midfield performance there with all those technicality. Yeah, Leicester were breaking the lines with beautiful passes from all and Tillemans. But in the final third, they were very, very horrible. Like, look at Barnes. Couldn't take on Diogo Dalot. Well, not to take anything from Dalot's performance.
Even their standout moment.
Not
Michael.
What?
You are an Arsenal fan, so I wouldn't expect you not to think that midfield can actually dominate my United midfield.
No, actually, I was expecting they had more technicality than you guys.
I don't understand how you think those players could dominate my midfield with the quality of players I have packed in my midfield.
Come
they
on,
were also, they were shambolic yesterday. All of them they played absolute rubbish.
Let's just agree that Leicester were below. But I mean, of course, you can say when it comes to quality and names and all that, yes, maybe Man United have a better, Man United have a better midfield name and all that. They have better players in the midfield. But all I am saying is Leicester City will be nowhere near their best.
Yeah,
Adam.
I want to quickly reply to what Sheon said. He said he expected Leicester City to dominate the midfield. Leicester City with what? With Jules Brihal.
Come on. It doesn't have the name. Doesn't mean it doesn't have the quality.
I didn't want to jump this topic before, but how can you mention Jules Brihal when Eriksen's
when there's an Eriksen in the midfield.
Come on, let me. Okay. Yesterday, your midfield. Your midfield. Let me tell you. Come on. You had Richard
and Pelumi. I don't know how you argue with a guy that has Lokonga in his midfield.
Lokonga, that's what I want.
Gentlemen, let's be going. Order in this courthouse, please. Now, let's look at fixtures to come. This weekend is quite interesting, actually. Because, of course, let's not forget that I expect to see some rotations. Because, especially among the big boys, because it's Champions League. Champions League is here. Europa League is here for those that are playing Thursday night football as well, which refers to everybody that is not me on this podcast right now. So let's look at the fixtures quickly. On Saturday, Everton against Liverpool, first Merseyside derby of the season, 12:30. That's what we are kicking off. 3 p.m. Goal rush games. Brentford against Leeds, Chelsea against West Ham, Newcastle against Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest against Bournemouth, Tottenham against Fulham. Very, very interesting. London derby is always very interesting. I'm going to personally find a way to watch this game. Wolverhampton Wanderers against Southampton, 3 p.m. on Saturday. And finally, on Saturday, is Aston Villa hosting Manchester City. Who think anybody here thinks that this might be the game that will get Gerrard fired? Does anybody agree with me that this might be the game that will get Gerrard fired?
Oh, well, one thing. Okay.
You know, from what happened to Arteta, I think Arteta at Arsenal has given has opened doors for coaches. I think they would want to give him more chance. They would want to give him more chance. You know, he used Arteta as an excuse in one pre-match conference. So I think they would want to give him probably 2 to 3 games. You know, like in Leicester City. They were distracted due to this transfer news. Some players want to leave and the likes. I know even this Douglas Luiz Arsenal were looking to sail yesterday. He hasn't started. I think he has started only one game for Aston Villa. For the player of that kind of quality, he shouldn't be on the bench. I think... What?
What is quality in Douglas Luiz, please? Because he scored the back on a for a player.
No. Actually, let me explain to you. There's something called technicality. For one, if you are if you are a very good technical player, you have massive quality.
Amala, do you think you guys follow me? We can have this discussion like a thousand different ways. Let's be going, please. Amala, do you think this might be the game that would get Steven Gerrard fired?
Well, I don't think the Aston Villa hierarchy, they're expecting something different from by facing a City team that is blowing people off left, right and center. So I don't know what they're expecting Gerrard to actually do in the game. Maybe even if he comes back and plays 11-0 or 10-1-0, he's still going to lose the game. So let them just count the game off.
All right. On Sunday, we have just two games. Which one of them is the biggest game of the game week? Brighton and Albion against Leicester City. Then the one that we actually have to talk about is Manchester United against Arsenal. Now, this is the question I'm posing to you people. In fact, let's go through other games first before we come back to that one. Everton, in fact, Merseyside derby, quickly. Does anybody think... because Salah has 2 assists in their last game against Newcastle. Is Salah back in form? Can we start looking at him for our captain bands again? Or should we still keep our... should we still be watching and be looking at what's going to happen?
Let me
start.
No way.
Richard, okay. If you watch the assists that he gave, you will not be saying this thing at all.
But because assist is assist.
You know, he's not back in form. That's what I'm trying to say. It's just... It's obvious that the entire Liverpool side is struggling. They have not been able to.
Okay. Now, let me ask you. Okay, we accept that Liverpool are struggling. Is it just down to the injuries, or maybe all the players are not just in the right shape of mind? Because, of course, the injuries and the suspensions are looking. The list is long.
Yeah, actually, everything is going on with the squad at the moment. Injuries, inconsistency. They are missing Sadio Mane. I didn't want to say that, but it's obvious. They don't have they scored 9 goals, yeah, beautiful, but they don't have that firepower as they used to have. The assurance that, okay, it's going to give a player on the right wing will score, a player on the left wing will also score. But when they had Sadio Mane, they had okay, so Mane can convert, Salah can convert, and Firmino can find both of them. But now Bobby has to do it work himself. So
well, let's talk about the London Derby. Let's talk about the first of the two London Derbies this weekend. Chelsea against West Ham United. West Ham are just picking up their sales. I mean, in their last two games, they finally found a win. They found a draw. It's looking good. They are stepping up. You understand? You understand where I'm coming from. So, do you think this dwindling Chelsea side and a resurgent West Ham side, who would conquer who?
I think that game will end in a draw, because when you look at the two teams, firstly, when you look at West Ham this season, their attack hasn't been so good. The likes of Bowen, he hasn't scored anything this season.
Let me ask you. Let me even put it directly. Do you think maybe Scamacca should start starting ahead of Antonio?
Antonio, I saw the game against Tottenham. I don't think Antonio did poorly. I think of the attackers that day, he was the one who tried the best. I mean, in terms of link-up plays, I mean, he was even the one who assisted Sushek, who equalized. Antonio is not doing poorly. I feel like he's the supporting crew that need to sit. Bowen needs to understand that. Moyes needs to tell Bowen that, bro, this is not last season. This is a new season. You're not playing well. I can put you on the bench because, well, you're not performing. For now, is not doing well at the moment. He's just trying a lot of effort. Oh, hey, should have entered. It's nothing. It's clicking. Benrahma, the only thing that is stylish about Benrahma's play this season is his haircut, not his football play. West Ham need Antonio here. Antonio is the one trying to link them up together. But, you know, now, you look at even their midfield, they don't really have creativity in midfield, per se. Okay,
for example, maybe they should do it the Liverpool way. Try maybe, because of course, the both of them, I think, maybe are good in when it comes to winning air balls. Scamacca is obviously a giant. Antonio is not exactly the tallest of players, but we've seen him muscle out when he comes, stand his ground and muscle out some big boys when it comes to the defenders. So maybe a 4-4-2, maybe switch up things a little bit for David Moyes. Maybe it's actually help. Do you think maybe something like that? And of course, Chelsea
it's not like Chelsea are so good. Even if you don't use a striker, you are meant to beat Chelsea. So using what two is just like
what
to keep them.
To
but I support that. So, but then on a serious note, but then when you look at Chelsea, I don't know. Chelsea don't have an attack this season. Take out Sterling from that attack, and there is nothing left in that attack. They have a striker, a midfielder, be a striker who has collected more yellow cards than goals. Then they don't even have a supporting. So I don't know. I feel like it's ending a draw. It's called draw.
All right, let's look at other games. The second London derby of the weekend, Tottenham against Fulham. Damola, talk to me. Where do we stand?
Tottenham against Fulham. Tottenham's last game, you know, Antonio Conte has just been. With the amount of players, I can't really say quality players. With the amount of players Antonio Conte got in throughout the transfer window, you would expect a Tottenham side to play, to put up beautiful performances and blow teams away. I was actually thinking it would be a title contender for this season, but how they are playing is not actually convincing. They are struggling to create chances. They are struggling to convert chances. They are struggling to even keep clean sheets. So and this Fulham side, they don't look like they're slowing down. They look like the wolves of the new generation. They are picking up points where they can pick up points, and they're shocking oppositions when they can shock oppositions, which is normal for the new promoted side. And the game I'm seeing, if it doesn't end as a draw, maybe a slim Tottenham win.
Now, let's talk about the big one, which is why all of us are gathered here today on this beautiful Friday morning. Manchester United at 4:30 p.m. will be hosting fellow Europa League boys Arsenal at the Old Garage. The so-called Theatre of Dreams. Although, yes, you can see Man U are resurgent, they are in form. Arsenal are also in form. 5 wins out of 5. Man United, 3 wins out of 3. The both of them are both on a good spell of form, which is why at this point, personally, let me start from my own personal standpoint. I don't know. Personally, I will put this game at a balance point. I would say it's going to end in a draw. But in recent times, Arsenal have traveled to Old Trafford and it has not exactly gone according to script. So it therefore puts me in quite a conundrum, which makes me ask, what exactly is going to happen this weekend? I'm throwing this one to the house. I'm not calling anybody's name. Anybody that likes to talk.
It's a tough one. In past times, Arsenal would dominate the game and United end up winning. But from what I saw yesterday, United are actually playing an entertaining football. Like they have an identity going forward and trying to build up from the back. And you know, from this building up play from the back, Arsenal has been better than them. So that's what I'm going to hold on to. Like they don't press aggressively like we do. That's what I'm going to hold on to. But there's something called luck and quality. United have that quality up front. They don't need to hold on to the ball for more than 10 minutes and they can get a goal. And Arsenal can ask questions and not get a goal. But United, one play, United can just get a goal and sit back, win the game. So it's a tough one. And also, I'm not. And also, there's another script. You know, the last time Arsenal were on 49 game unbeaten and they went to Old Trafford, it ended in defeat. And also, there are two factors playing now. Gabriel Jesus has scored in 49 goals. He has scored in 49 games. In those games, he hasn't lost. In the last 49 games that he has scored, he hasn't lost any. And he's going to Old Trafford next. And also, Arsenal are going to Old Trafford on the back of...
I can see where you're coming from there.
So, yeah, there's something called scripts. So, that's it. If we could get a goal before them, I'm going for the win.
Let me talk to the Man United boys. Let me talk to the one that has four eyes. Let me start with you. Follow me. How are we looking?
Firstly, you can see him, how calm he was. Yeah, he was so blah 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 blah. He's not even the car. So this is an epitome of somebody who is there by luck. It just won, you know. But wow. We are calm. Okay. We are relaxed. I'm very relaxed.
So you're saying Arsenal's perfect record has come to an end?
Of course. I mean, if United don't beat us now, then we be away with a draw. Like, we just say, okay, make it for no spoil. Take a draw.
But, I blame Thomas Partey.
But United are meant to beat us. What is Partey, my friend? Right?
I promise you, if Partey was available, I would be so confident to win. I would be so confident to win.
There's a very large possibility that Arsenal will be playing this game with Lokonga and Xhaka in the middle of the field. Oh, God. Okay, now I'm beginning to see what's going to happen. I think I'm beginning to get a clear picture. Damola, let me talk to you. Man United against Arsenal.
It is just a game of who can score more. And my defense has been pretty solid these days. And it is Arsenal who should be afraid. And we don't really have much to lose. We don't have much to lose, but you know, it is Arsenal's undoing. Okay, you can't stay on top of the Premier League for long, blah blah blah. You can't do this. The pressure is getting to them. You can see how one of their fans was talking out, blah blah blah. They have more possessions, they've been winning, they've been doing this, they've been winning. So anyhow, I'm definitely going for the 3 points on Sunday, but anything that happens.
All right, Richard, let me talk to you, but this time I don't want maybe Arsenal win. Just give me a scoreline. What are you looking at?
4-0.
What? Sorry, did I get that right? 4 or 1?
Wait, Richard, you said 4, right? Like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, if you watch Manchester United in the last two games, we went away and then we had 1-0 wins. That kept clean sheets away to very, very dogged and tough teams like Southampton that beat Chelsea. So coming home against Arsenal with an Arsenal side that hasn't faced any big side since the season started, and they've been shouting five straight wins. They're coming to a Manchester United Old Trafford, a rejuvenated side that I'm very, very sure will play the manager will play Cristiano Ronaldo up front and also play Big Case in the middle. There's nothing to think about. It's going to be 4-0 whitewash.
It's funny.
Who knows? Maybe Anthony would even start that game, sir. Let's wait and find out. Let's see what happens by then. But away from that, anyways, let's what happens in the FPL corner now. We look at all the games. Yes, follow me.
This Arsenal fan needs to understand that if they don't call him, he should not speak. He's amongst big boys.
Come on. This is not 2008. Don't tell me he's among big boys. This is not 2008. When was the last time you won a trophy? This is not 2008. Leave 2008 behind. We are in 2022. You are not that team anymore. Bring your invincible title too. Bring it. We won. The last time was 19 years ago, and no one has done it.
Bring your champion.
I can mention five Champions League winners for you.
Chill. Let me tell you something.
In this courtroom. Adam,
let me just quickly say this. Let me tell you something. You know, on Sunday now, Arsenal could come to Old Trafford. You know one thing? Firstly, we'll allow them to take a tour around our, trophy room. Let them see what the champions.
Come on. you can't be serious.
Now, let me talk.
If you don't win, there's going to be a problem. Especially the money boys, because you're the one that will be with you. You're the one that will be here with me again next week.
Dave, I'm just saying it now, so I love you. Yeah. You know, let's even say, sometimes small teams can get lucky. That's now.
You sound like you're already giving us a scoop for
in football, anything is possible. That's why it's a beautiful game of football. Small teams have, they have upsets too.
Okay. Gentlemen, let's discuss FPL and begin to our house. In fact, there's a Champions League to talk about. I'm not taking it. There's a Champions League. Let's talk about FPL.
Champions League tie too. But Arsenal will go with what?
At the moment, the both of you are playing Thursday night football. Let's talk about FPS. Who are you captaining for this game week?
Android. That Android in the league. Salah is going nowhere near my armband with that Android in this league.
Okay. But this is something quite interesting. This is personally from my own standpoint. I'm not saying it will happen. But from my own standpoint, Champions League is next week. There is a slight possibility that Haaland might not be starting the game. Because, of course, Pep, at the moment, is not exactly, I would not say concerned, but his main focus is that Champions League trophy. He has done it over and over with the Premier League trophy. It's no longer what he wants. You can tell he wants the big job. He wants the jugular. He wants the big one. Which is why, personally, I think he might be saving. Like, you look at Kevin De Bruyne. Why was De Bruyne having last game? No reason why. Pep is an assassin, but that's not why we are here today. Richard, any differential player that we can look at that maybe if you have like 6 million you want to buy?
I'm not going to lie to you. The only differential that has been popping in my head is Lingard. I don't know why. It's suspicious.
Lingard is now down to 5.8. And the only thing he has done this season is just one assist in 4 different appearances. Or 4 or 5 different appearances.
Adam.
Yes?
I had
so Lingard. What has Havertz done?
I don't understand who is calling
I got that guy in my draft.
The whole of Chelsea, the only person I can buy is Reece James, and at the moment itself I have him, but it's not is the injury report is ill, so I'm not sure he'll be playing this weekend like this.
No, he just felt ill. He's available.
I think he's back.
Amen. Damola, let's talk. Which player are we looking at that will give us 20 points?
At this point, I don't think anybody. See, I made a grave mistake last week by actually captaining Kevin De Bruyne. So
what?
I captain
Jesus.
If Alan like make him start, if he like make him no start, like Captain Madison Alan, I don't care if it starts or it does not start.
All of you are stubborn. Yes, believe me.
No, you should not be seeking FPL captaincy advice from somebody who captained KDB in the last game week.
Yeah, no, normal. No, listen to me. Even the scouts. I didn't look at the scout selection though. Even the scouts didn't captain Alan. Because on a norm, Alan shouldn't have started that game because he had the game on Sunday. But actually, Pep is thinking different. So that's why we call it the Pep roulette.
That's you can decide on start Alan
that, does. That, that's what I'm saying. That today.
That relates that if people are not seeing yet.
He's still going to catch somebody. That's the fact because he has a Champions League match on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Exactly. I don't see Adam from my own point of view. Adam, Alan was my captain against in midweek. I don't think I'll captain Alan for the weekend because I'm actually thinking Alan may not. But I was talking with a friend who was telling me Alan will start against Nottingham Forest. He will start at the weekend, resting for the Champions League, and even if he maybe he'll just come in or something. So I don't think I'll captain
Alan. Alan can be that guy that will not come and spoil you. He can spoil. He can come and spoil your team over the weekend. He did not start. You will not be praying that he will not play at all. So that your white captain.
and
Pep Guardiola, he can just tell you, "Oh, yeah, go and play 5 minutes."
I don't know. I think somebody has wronged Guardiola before by beating him in the FPA. I don't know that guy's problem. You've been winning 6-0. Just leave Kevin De Bruyne on the bench. I don't know. Bring in another player. Why do you have to bring him in last game week?
What did he say? Who was your vice? Who was your vice?
Actually, my vice cap was stupid too. Let's not talk about it.
So why? When you are both good enough.
On both. So you lost on both ends, both captain and vice captain.
Yeah, well, I did. Idea.
All right, let's quickly look at the Champions League fixtures. I don't think there's any big game. Let's quickly run through what's going to happen this midweek. Dynamo Zagreb will be starting against Chelsea. Borussia Dortmund against Copenhagen. Salzburg against AC Milan. Leipzig against Shakhtar Donetsk. Celtic against Madrid. Sevilla against Manchester. PSG against Juventus. Wow, that's a very, very nice opening day. Benfica against Maccabi Haifa. All those games are on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we have Ajax Rangers. I'm thinking a lot of goals, Sha, but let's be looking at it. Frankfurt against Sporting. Napoli Liverpool. Wow. Now we are getting somewhere. Brugge against Bayer Leverkusen. Atletico Madrid against Porto. Inter against Bayern Munich at the San Siro. God is Bayern Munich against Victoria Pleasant. Tottenham Hotspur against Olympic Marseille. Now let's look at the big ones one by one. Let's look at the big ones. I started from the first one I mentioned that was interesting was when I mentioned PSG against Juventus. I know, like, I think all of us are in agreement by saying that Juventus will collect business, right?
Well, as long as I get my Vlahovic goal, I'm good.
Somebody's not in agreement with us. Who is that?
Yes, Richard. And then I'm also on the side of Richard. Adam, I do not think, you know, the thing is, yes, Juventus have been poor in the Serie A, but this is the Champions League. I don't know. There's this thing about the Champions League that big teams just come and be big teams, and then they just put small teams.
Come on.
All this Arsenal bullets you are trying. If you lose on Sunday,
you're mentioning PSG.
Nothing more than that.
The Champions League.
Exactly.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The big team in France is Marseille.
You need to win an European trophy in
Napoli,
France.
Napoli, Liverpool, Victor Osimhen. In fact, that one
versus Van Dijk.
Ah, God is
please, good. Please, Van Dijk is average.
God is good. Okay, so, and the problem right now, why? In fact, I might be overstretching, but maybe Napoli even Napoli itself are not even in good form right now. They drew against Fiorentina. Even if I give them the slack against Fiorentina, I cannot cut them that slack for what they did against Lecce. How do you play 1-1 against a newly promoted side? Why? How?
A newly Liverpool promoted side nearly beats Liverpool. Nearly beats Liverpool. A newly promoted side nearly beats Liverpool. A newly promoted side dominated Tottenham. So don't bring that. Don't bring that.
My own is that in Italy, newly promoted side usually collect business. Plenty of things.
Actually, at the start of the season, look at Monza now. Look at their mates, Monza. Look at this other team, Cremonese. I don't know why Napoli couldn't beat the opponents. But then, well, you know, it's football. That's what I said. It's football. Small teams, you know, sometimes get lucky results.
So where are we standing? Napoli against Liverpool, Damola? Who are you tipping for the win?
I don't know. Liverpool haven't been convinced in any way. They needed a corrupt officiating to see Newcastle. So I don't know. Napoli too have been their last game wasn't really all that. But I see anyway. The person that can score more goals will win. I think that's what we're doing.
Now let's look at this game. This one, I don't want anything. I just wanted to predict the scoreline. San Siro, Inter Milan against Bayern Munich. But let me start with you. I know you're going to go like five, but let me hear from you.
Is it Bayern or Barcelona? I think it's
Inter against Bayern.
Okay, now. And now Bayern to score like four now. No time.
As usual.
I'll go 2-0.
2-0, Bayern or Inter?
Yeah, Bayern.
Okay. Now, voila. Bayern or Inter?
4-0.
Come on.
4-0. Even now, we're talking about someone.
Come on,
Richard, I don't know. Is it Lukaku that wants to that wants to do something?
But Bayern's defense is not all that. Now it's just because Bayern and Bundesliga attack. Because
they have Matis Delight. They have Matis Delight. They have Ryan Gravenberch.
Is Delight and Upamecano that they refuse?
Adam. When I said Damola, when I said Bayern will score four, it doesn't mean Inter won't score. Bayern will not keep a clean sheet. It is Bayern. There's nothing. Clean sheet is overrated for Bayern. Let's just keep scoring. That's it.
They will not outscore their opponents. That's just it.
Of course, like 4-1.
Okay. So, Richard, where are we looking at? Please tell me that you are different from others.
No. I'm not going to lie to myself. What is Bayern versus Barca?
Okay. Where we get there with? I think that's even next week after this particular game week.
Okay. Now, don't worry. Now your tears are getting closer, Adam. No wahala.
We will be here.
So you want to say? Oh, don't worry. That time.
I'm not saying anything. What I am saying that is valid at the moment is that if Man U lose on Sunday. Just don't come and record.
What I don't understand why all of this so why are you so concerned about the United? Why are you so concerned about us?
You are meant to be concerned about registering Marcos Alonso that you just signed.
They have registered all of them, brother. They have registered all of them. Don't worry.
Okay, no, very soon people going to admin, then you will not be able to talk to us.
Until then, I still have the right to talk. Richard, what's your scoreline prediction? Let's begin with this.
3-1
in favor of Bayern Munich. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard all of them speak. I have spoken to the best of my knowledge. Thank you very much for listening to Central Soccer.
Best of your knowledge.
It's going to be longer because of course, Champions League is not entering the mix and we'll start.
More children. They talk of best of my knowledge. Adam, hey, can't even be you talking about knowledge.
No problem now. Now you be old wise man now. Thank you very much for listening. It's always a pleasure to be here. I've had so much fun. All these boys are not okay, but all of us are like that. Take us like that. Have fun. Leave us a voice message, a comment. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. My name is the same thing, John Champion Junior, everywhere. There's no difference. There's no space. There's no underscore. JON Champion JNR, just all at once. You write it together on Instagram and Twitter. You find me. Tamala, what's your Instagram and Twitter handle, please?
I don't really do much of Instagram, but on Twitter, you can find me at Emperor_TheGreat. And on IG, let me see, you can find me on I am Emperor_TheGreat.
Okay, follow me.
On Twitter, you find me at lions_pixel. On IG, you find me at lions.pixel.
Richard? Richard.
I think he's gone.
Okay. Shane, thank you very much for joining us. Let them see. Yeah. If they need to connect with you anywhere else, where would they find you?
Okay, just type in Michael Kizman on Instagram and Twitter, then you find me. Michael Kizman.
Michael, as in Michael,
Yeah, Michael. Then Kizman, K-I-E-Z-M-E-N.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. We've had so much fun. These boys are not okay, like I mentioned earlier. It's not
I enjoyed
like any better, but of course, it was fun. Thank you very much. We'll do this again next week.
All right. Bye, everyone.